Welcome to another edition of San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, your voice in the San Luis Valley. Without further ado, enjoy the program.
A new era of transportation is here in the San Luis Valley. Welcome to Busdang, the interregional express bus service from the Colorado Department of Transportation. Busdang connects commuters and travelers to and from Denver, Colorado Springs, Fort Collins, Glenwood Springs, and Grand Junction. Busdang also offers daily outrider services, leaving out of Alamosa each morning and connecting to areas such as Durango, Pueblo, Lamar, Salida, Buena Vista, Fairplay, Telluride, Montrose, Cortez, La Junta, Canyon City, and Penrose. This comfortable, cutting-edge transportation alternative connects Colorado 7 days a week, 365 days per year. Keep listening to learn all about this statewide service from CDOT's Busdang Outrider Project Manager. You'll hear about when and why they started, current safety precautions in place, all of the amenities and services available, and how you easily and conveniently can get from the San Luis Valley to all of the major cities across our state.
Need an inexpensive ride in or out of the San Luis Valley? Curious as to what Busdang is really all about? Then keep listening to learn all of the ins and the outs of the special service that CDOT provides for our area. Here to tell you all about it is Jeff Prilwitz. Jeff is the Busdang Outrider Project Manager for CDOT. Jeff, welcome to SL Voices.
Hi there. Glad to be here.
Jeff, first, let's get your story. Where are you originally from, sir?
Well, I was actually born in Tripoli, Libya. I was an Air Force brat. We had a base there before Gaddafi. So I've been all around. But basically, I'm a Colorado native. We always ended up here, full Lowry Air Force Base up here in Denver and that.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, your past, your history. What did you do prior to working with CDOT and Busdang?
Well, I spent 22 years with the Regional Transportation District, RTD, in Denver. I started out as a bus driver there for 10 years, worked my way through college, and then went over to the dark side of management. Got a little burned out after 22 years, so I just took a little career break, went and traveled all around the world, did some volunteer work in Spain teaching English, and then one of the managers that was at RTD had come to work for CDOT, and she went on Facebook with a picture of the job description, said, "Jeff, you need to sign up for this." So I went and applied at CDOT, and looked like a great program, and I really enjoyed it. I've been there a little over 3 years now.
Well, Jeff, I understand you're also an avid bus rider yourself. You like to use public transit anytime you can.
When we're working out of the office before the COVID-19, I rode the bus every day to CDOT's office. I live out in Aurora, and I ride RTD every day. My pickup truck, a Chevy pickup, I bought new in 2004, and it just hit 100,000 miles. I think to the CDOT's new headquarters, I've driven it there twice since that opened. I use it for just trips around the state, and then it sits in the garage during the week when I'm working. All that bus riding pays for all my other traveling, I guess.
I understand that. So not only do you work for CDOT, you're an avid believer, and you use the system.
Yes. And when I travel, like in England or somewhere, and of course Europe has much more developed public transit than America does, I always ride the bus or the trains. And I've even ride our Busdang and Busdang Outrider whenever I get a chance.
Well, let's talk about Busdang. How and why was this service first started here in Colorado?
The original Busdang started, which just on the front range, I-25 from Denver up to Fort Collins and South Colorado Springs, and then I-70 west out to Grand Junction, started several years ago because Colorado Springs Transit, Mountain Metro, was running a commuter line from the Springs to Denver. And then they lost their funding and stopped doing it. And demand was there. So in 2015, when Busdang started, it was kind of based on that. When I do like a PowerPoint presentation on this, I have a slide that was a newspaper headline from like about 2 days after the service started saying the Busdang needs to be put out the pasture because no one would ride it.
Oh my.
We can't keep up with demand. We're running 7 trips on each line of the original Busdang now, and that's round trips. So that led us to Busdang Outrider, which was Alamosa, more rural Colorado. There's a federal program called 5311F grants, which 15% of the federal transit money for rural areas has to go to inner city travel. And that's what the funding for this comes. It's 100% federally funded, the operating. We did buy the buses with state funds, but all the operating comes from the federal government on the Outrider. The reason we did it, they're already getting the grants. They're being distributed all over the state, and CDOT was the pass-through. And there was a lot of issues. Some of the grantees did a fantastic job, others not so good. The fares are all over the place. Maintenance standards vary, types of buses, and just knowledge. One thing we found out when we started putting our program in is a lot of towns that had service didn't even know they had service. The example I always use, we were co-funding with Kansas DOT. It went from Wichita to Pueblo, and we took a look at that. It arrived in Pueblo at 3 p.m, and the return trip started at 3 a.m. So if you're like from Lamar and you're trying to go shopping or see a doctor in Pueblo, you're looking at 2 nights in a hotel. Plus, how do you get to the station at 3 a.m? So we were averaging 3 Colorado passengers a week, which certainly isn't a success by anyone's definition.
Right.
So we canceled that program and redid it, Lamar to Pueblo to Colorado Springs. And daily, we carry way more riders now and that than we did like in a week. Been very successful.
Bustang Estelle started in 2015, you're saying. When did you start the Outrider service to places like here in Alamosa?
April of 2018 when the Alamosa service started. We actually wanted to start it in July, but the operator was running it, pulled out early once found out that we were coming in. We did offer it to them, but they didn't want to do it. Two of our routes, the Lamar, Colorado Springs, and Alamosa, Pueblo, are operated by the Senior Resource Development Agency out of Pueblo, which is a nonprofit. We prefer nonprofits and agencies because obviously save a little money.
So what areas of the state does Bustang serve overall?
Front Range and I-70 for the original Bustang. Bustang Outrider right now has 4 routes, Alamosa to Pueblo, Lamar, Pueblo, Colorado Springs, Gunnison to Denver, and Durango to Grand Junction via Telluride. We don't go over Red Mountain Pass on that one, and there's 4 ridership going through Telluride. And next year, we're going to start 4 more routes. We'll be doing a second trip on the Telluride one, which will just start in Telluride and go to Grand Junction, make it easier for people to do day trips from Telluride, Montrose to Grand Junction. We'll be doing Trinidad to Pueblo, Sterling to Greeley, and possibly a couple trips a week to Denver on that one, and Craig to Denver through Winter Park. That right now is being co-funded with Utah DOT. It's a Greyhound run, and we're subsidizing it.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the Lamar one I mentioned earlier, we decided we can do a better job of running it, change the schedule around, and it'll just start in Craig.
So you're actually examining and refining everything based on the ridership that you perceive it needs, the service.
Yes, we've used a consulting firm to measure ridership, and what we found is they're very accurate. We go back and look and see if they do. It's a firm called HDR. And when we do put routes in, again, I'll use the Lamar route as an example because it's the first one and really such a good example. We meet with all the communities along the way, have multiple meetings with city councils, county commissioners, interested stakeholders. We set up the stops where the community wants to. We want the communities to own their service. You know, it's part of them. On that Lamar route, when the original operator was doing it, they were only stopping in La Junta, Lamar, and Rocky Ford. And we added Fort Lyon, Los Animas, Manzanola, Swink, Fowler, and we met with them. And I would say every stop on that route except one, we changed from where the original one was. Again, like Lamar's an example. I'm not familiar with Lamar, but you got the stockyards way out on the west side of town.
Mm-hmm.
And the stop was out there at a truck stop. So it was basically 5 miles from the center of Lamar. And we moved it to the Lamar Visitor Center, which is right downtown, and it's a much better location. It's right next to Bowers County's local transit headquarters. They have their own local transit down there, so they can connect easy with our bus.
Sure. Well, it makes more sense to be in a centrally located area. This is what I understand. In some cases, it's what they call the last mile issue, getting from the actual bus stop to where people actually want to go.
Yeah, I kind of refer to it on like our routes as the last 20-mile issue because of the rural area. Well, Alamosa is a good example. You know, you don't have a lot of public transit in the San Luis Valley. And I know there's a group that's really working to bring some more in. They run the Eagle Line right now, which runs a couple of days from Salida down to Monte Vista and Alamosa. And they're looking to expand some, get some more service. But that is a problem because it doesn't do us a whole lot of good to run this service if people can't get to it. And granted, you know, there's a myth that a lot of people that ride the bus don't own cars, but a lot do it. They'll ride the bus. We know people on our West Line in Aspen that own airplanes, and they catch the bus in Glenwood when they got business in Denver. So it isn't all stereotypical ridership. We have a very broad range. The last time I rode the Telluride bus, there was a dozen skiers flying into Montrose to go to Telluride. And, you know, staying a week in Telluride is not cheap. I sure can't afford it.
Oh, then it makes sense to save some money and use the bus service.
I'm off on a little tangent, but like I said, it is the last mile is definitely a big part of it. Again, like the Lamar route, They have a very active regional council on transit all up and down the whole area there, and they're putting out guides and that. And the same thing with the last mile is just educating people.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we find in rural areas that a lot of people have never ridden the bus. And I was talking to the Rio Grande County commissioners one time, and all of them said, you know, they're really interested in riding the bus and that, but, you know, they don't know anything about it. They've never done it. And those people, like, you're my age, educated people. And we even get that here in Denver with RTD. A lot of people, they'll ride like to a Bronco game and say, hey, this isn't so bad. But it is intimidating to anybody. There's a lot of stereotypes of transit, which being a transit geek, I say most are wrong.
Well, that's what we're going to attempt to accomplish with this podcast, too, is helping people here in the Valley understand that this wonderful service is available to them. Do you have a rough idea what your current monthly average ridership is for the San Luis Valley line?
All these rural ones, they aren't going to have like a Denver route or a Front Range route. There's days when we'll have an almost full bus, and then unfortunately we'll have a day when the bus is empty. And of course, you still have to run it because we don't know if someone's going to be coming back or someone's going in Penrose and wants to go.
Yeah, you've got other stops along the way, too. Now, you said there's a group out of Pueblo that's actually running the line here from Alamosa?
Yes, it's a senior research development agency. They've been around, I want to say, since like 1965 in Pueblo. They do a lot of meal delivery, a lot of non-emergency medical, Medicaid-type transportation in Pueblo County. I called when we started that was going to be our first ride. I probably called 100 or emailed 100 different nonprofits and agencies. It's kind of like fishing. They were the one that bit. And they've been fantastic for us. They do both the Lamar route and the Alamosa route. They are really stepped up on a lot. Their drivers are really taking ownership of the routes. The buses are based in Alamosa and Lamar, so it's local people driving the buses. Our bus is actually kept out at the CDOT lot there on the south side of town by the county offices. We like to keep the local people. And of course, obviously, getting from Pueblo was something we couldn't do to start a route.
Can a rider bring luggage on Bustang, and what are those limitations?
Buses vary by routes. A couple of the newer routes will have like a smaller cutaway type with the big van type. On the Alamosa route, we use a 35-foot over-the-road coach. It's like the big Greyhound buses, but 10 foot shorter, so it fits the smaller routes a little better. It's made by a Belgian company named Van Hool. There was no American company at the time that made a shorter over-the-road coach. They have the full luggage bays underneath. We have a bike rack on front, and so we can take bikes on the front, and if there's room in the luggage bays, there's on both sides, inside of the bus, there's a full-length package tray up above the seats, so you can put small items. And, of course, we got the other amenities. There's a restroom on them, just like the over-road coaches. We have power plugs and Wi-Fi, but I will say, you know, sometimes the Wi-Fi in the mountains isn't always perfect.
Oh, that's just Colorado.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, too, that the Bustang buses are handicap accessible?
Yes, we're all lift accessible. There's two spots on the bus dedicated for wheelchairs. You lose a little seating because the seats slide out of the way. For a person in a wheelchair for the first time, it's probably a little intimidating because it's almost like a little forklift arm coming out of the side of the bus and lifts them up. But it's very safe. It's been around forever. It's a very common lift that transit agencies all over the country use.
About children riding the bus, is there a particular age limit where they can ride alone?
Anyone under 16 needs an adult. And actually, you know, earlier when I was talking about like the different policies all across the state, when we started doing this, that's something we were running into. One agency would say, well, you got to be 16. And then like the kid would be transferring to another bus, and that agency would say 12 or vice versa. And then we had one that was giving out waivers to people. So there was like 8-year-olds riding the bus by themselves. Under 16, they need a ride with a parent guardian, someone over 18.
Jeff, could you please cover the COVID-19 guidelines that are currently in place?
Basically, for pastors, the biggest thing you need to know is we are requiring masks right now. We also will be doing social distancing on the buses, so there'll be only half capacity right now. So on the, Alamosa bus, it'll be only 16 total right now. We will be monitoring it, and if there is, like, say you get to Salida and more people want on the bus, we're going to get another bus out there. We don't want to leave anyone behind. We also are offering hand sanitizer packs. On the buses themselves, we're installing a number of items. The drivers will have a partition. The internal climate control system, we're replacing all the filters with medical-grade filters. And we're also installing a UV light on the climate system, which basically kills all the germs and viruses. It's completely within the climate system outside of the passenger compartment, so it won't affect any passengers. And every night, the buses are thoroughly cleaned and sanitized. We are definitely, if you go on the website, we have the whole list of what we're doing.
And what is that website?
RideBustang.com. And we're also on Facebook, too, and Twitter, Bustang Outrider for the Alamosa route.
And all these links, of course, will be on the podcast page. So if someone is listening, they can drop by slvoices.com and get all your contact information, your website, your Twitter, all of your other information will be there. Jeff, the buses have returned to service here in the San Luis Valley with modified schedules. What has changed for now?
Actually, the Outrider schedules are the same as they've always been. The original Bustang are modified some. We aren't doing quite as many right now. For the Alamosa run, it's the same as always. So it leaves 5:45 in the morning from Adams State's Student Union Building. There's a nice pullout there.
Mm-hmm.
Bus fits in. Looks like it was built for us. And then it also stops at the Loaf and Jug on Highway 116, Highway 17. We're headed on up to Salida, Canyon City, and into Pueblo. Some people ask why we leave so early. Well, part of the requirements of the grant is we have to make meaningful connections. So we have to connect with Greyhound in Pueblo. Plus, it also connects with our bus going from Pueblo up to Denver. And in Salida, it connects with the Gunnison bus going to Denver. So you have a real nice connection. You know, it's a time connection. I mean, basically, you more or less just step out, say, the Alamosa bus, if you want to go to Denver and Salida, and just step right onto the bus from Gunnison, going, which goes up to Denver. It'll go Buena Vista, Fair Play, Pine Junction, and Denver.
So you've got all these routes kind of basically planned out so people can make these connections and get to different areas.
Yeah, and when you get to Denver, and that's some of what people get a little intimidated, you know, they're in Denver and trying to figure out the system there. We come into the Greyhound station in Denver,
mm-hmm.
if you want to connect with Greyhound going, say, Chicago or somewheres. And we also come into RTD's Union station. It's about, for me anyway, and I'm a fast walker, I'm probably about a 3-minute walk from our gate to the train to DIA. So if you want to catch a flight at DIA, you just walk right up there, and there's lots of people to help you. Obviously, you got to buy an RTD ticket at that point to ride the train, but connections all through the Denver transit area. We use the same gate at Union Station at our Bustang one, so if you want to continue on to Fort Collins or to Grand Junction or something.
Well, let's take a look at the route in and out of the San Luis Valley here specifically. As I understand it, it goes through and has stops in Moffett, Poncha Springs, Salida, Cotopaxi, Canyon City, Penrose, Pueblo West, and then Pueblo itself. What if someone wanted to get off at a different town along that specific route? Is that even possible?
Oh, yeah. Just pull the chime, let the driver know, and they'll let you out. Because we do that quite often. Like I said, a lot of people are coming up to Salida and transferring there to go to straight shot to Denver. And we'll have people stopping in Canyon City or Penrose, Pueblo West, any of them towns. Where it stops in Pueblo itself is their downtown transit center, which is right by the San Cristo Arts Center, the ice skating rink, the river walk, all that in downtown Pueblo.
I understand that the ridership is down in this area. I mean, obviously, this is pre-COVID. Is there a risk that we could lose the Bustang service here? And if so, what can we do?
I don't see a risk anytime soon. For one thing, it takes time to build service with any route. And obviously, your broadcast here is one of our outreach to try to get people to know about it. I know there's a lot of misinformation out there already. We're also looking with our marketing consultants that are getting other information out there. That's a big part, is just the education. People learning about the service. Like I said, when we went down there, people didn't even know they had a bus along the route. We talked like the Canyon City mayor, and he didn't know the bus was coming through there. And that's one thing we're really getting the news out there is COVID-19 kind of stalled us for a while because we didn't want to be pushing service that wasn't running.
Sure.
What I'd love to see, but it's very difficult, is be able to like bring a bus to, say, like the county fair or something. Show people the bus and go through the whole bit. But when you're limited to a certain number of drivers and buses, it's awfully hard to do that.
Jeff, you mentioned misinformation. What is some of that, and can you address that here?
Well, I heard recently that somebody was saying that we only served Alamosa during the school year. We're on the Alamosa bus 365 days a year.
Okay.
Even on Christmas. No different things like fares. All of our fares are based on 17 cents a mile. As earlier, that's something we wanted to bring all in line. So all Bustang fares are 17 cents a mile. So even if you don't have our schedule in front of you, if you know like where you're going to 100 miles away, $17.
The rate, I looked it up, from Alamosa all the way to Pueblo is a mere $31. That's pretty darn cheap.
And seniors are half price.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think it's extremely important. Would you say that again?
Yeah, seniors are half price.
Is there a particular age that you determine senior?
65.
Excellent. That's good to know. I was looking over your website. Quite a bit of functionality to it as well. I mean, you can go plan a trip. You've got the routes and the maps. You can book and pay there. You've got a mobile app as well.
Actually, we don't sell tickets online anymore. It's either by mobile app or cash only. And unfortunately, the Outrider doesn't have the mobile app yet.
Okay.
because the original Mustang is financed through a different way. It was relatively easy to make a contract for the mobile app. Because of the way Outriders finance, it's a sole procurement, this mobile app, and it's taken like 2 years to work through the contract negotiations. It's in the very final stage, and it should be ready very soon. And it's a nice app. It's made by a company called Masabi that's based in London, and RTD uses it, and our original Mustang uses it, and it's stored within your phone. So if you buy a ticket and then you're out of cell range, you still are able to pay. And it's a visual system. The driver just looks at your screen and sees that you bought a ticket. And you activate the ticket before getting on, and then you have like a half hour, and then it goes away.
So for now, I'm assuming just cash to ride the bus?
Yeah, cash only, exact fare. I mean, I know that's a little hard. People like carrying cash and everything, but that's what we're working on right now. We did used to do ticket vendors, but that was a longer route, but that's very hard. Because first, no one really wants to be a ticket vendor. You know, you're there at the Loaf and Jug, and you got 14 people lined up buying the hot dog and the pizza and gas, and someone comes in and trying to get a bus route to Chicago planned. That takes a lot of time and knowledge that you might not have. Plus, it's a pain for CDOT trying to keep track of it and make sure all the money's accounted for.
The Where's My Bus, is that part of the app?
Really, for the Outrider, we don't have that. We're working with RTD right now to have on the original Mustang, and it's in the testing phase right now. But on Outrider, just to get into rural, it's very hard to track. We do track all the buses with GPS, but they drop out various places. I think the Alamosa one's pretty good. I know we're like the Gunnison and the Durango one is going to disappear from my screen when I'm checking on them.
Again, because Colorado.
Yeah.
We love the mountains, but they come with some drawbacks sometimes. Jeff, is there anything else or that you'd like to mention?
Well, like I said, people a little nervous trying the bus, and just give it a try. Take a day trip to Pueblo sometime and go visit the River Run, eat a Pueblo slopper, and there's a real nice museum there. It's free with the NAS. That's about all the Medal of Honor winners, all within just like a block or two of the bus station. Just, you know, some weekend, take a little trip like that.
And you turn around and catch the bus back in the afternoon.
Yeah, or hotels are right there. You can make it a weekend trip.
There you go. Well, Jeff, we appreciate you taking the time to tell us about, specifically, it's called the Mustang Outrider Service, reaching out from here in Alamosa all the way to Pueblo. And again, there are connecting routes along the way where you can go to Colorado Springs, Denver, even out to the western part of Colorado. Jeff, any last comments?
Yeah, like I said, just try us out. It's a great program, and we are growing. And one more thing, we also are on Google Transit, too. And that was brand new for us, so there might be an error here or there, but we're getting that all taken care of, too.
Wonderful, Jeff. We certainly appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
Okay, well, thank you.
Mustang's daily Outrider services can get you to and from the San Luis Valley to areas such as Durango, Pueblo, Lamar, Salida, Buena Vista, Fairplay, Telluride, Montrose, Cortez, La Junta, Kenyon City, and Penrose, as well as major cities like Denver, Colorado Springs, Fort Collins, and Grand Junction. For more information on this comfortable and convenient daily service, visit their website, RideBustang.com. That's RideBustang.com. On Facebook at Mustang Outrider. They're even on Twitter and Instagram at RideBustang. You can also call 800-900-3011. That's 800-900-3011. Mustang and Mustang Outrider Service, serving Colorado's transportation needs since 2015.
We appreciate you telling your friends to listen to the podcast on slvoices.com and check out our extensive calendar of events, more listings in one location than any other website around. You can help spread the word, too, by joining our Facebook group, SL Voices, Your Voice in the San Luis Valley, and liking our posts on other social media outlets. Also, check out our Instagram page for behind-the-scenes looks at what we do. And please, patronize our local sponsors. Remember to support the businesses here in the Valley. Most are owned and operated by your friends, family, and neighbors. We all love this area and want to see it flourish. And you can help by buying and supporting locally in your own and surrounding communities. Check back for another local podcast soon. Until then, this has been San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, Your Voice in the San Luis Valley.